Welcome to Corstruction, the podcast of the Tulsa District U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. I am coming to you today from Kansas City, where I am at FEMA Region 7, and I'm here with Michael Caponari. Michael is the Director of External Affairs here at Region 7, and we just had a workshop here. So, Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us and talk about what you do at FEMA Region 7 and, like, about your region as a whole.
Yeah, sure thing, Brandon. Happy to.
All right. And we had a great workshop, an external affairs workshop with various agencies. Can you kind of give us an idea about the geographic region of what Region 7 encompasses and some of the agencies you work with in that area?
Yeah, sure thing. So FEMA Region 7 is comprised of four states here in the Midwest, the heartland, Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, and Nebraska. And we also have nine federally recognized tribes in our region as well. Our headquarters is here in Kansas City, Missouri. And as you were saying, this week we hosted a workshop for our ESF 15, which is Emergency Support Function 15, essentially means public information, you know, communicators, a workshop for that group that we have. So we're talking about all the federal departments that have some piece of Region 7. So examples would be EPA, USDA, Department of Agriculture, of course, our partners at the Corps of Engineers, various districts throughout the region. We had representation from the Omaha District, of course, Kansas City right here at home, the Tulsa District, Little Rock, and we had representatives from the St. Louis District that participated remotely. So in addition to our federal partners, our state public information officer, so talking about state emergency management, those are part of that working group as well. So we had representatives from both Nebraska and Missouri that were here, and we had colleagues from Iowa that and Kansas that participated remotely. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of what that working group looks like. So all those communicators, the public affairs types for those partners that have some piece of Region 7.
The room we're in right now is the Regional Response Coordination Center. Did I say that?
Yeah, that's right. Our Regional Response Coordination Center, kind of think of it as an EOC or Emergency Operations Center. And this room, when activated, so if there was like impending severe weather, we were expecting to have, you know, possible tornado activity, the decision could be made to activate our RRCC, our Regional Response Coordination Center, in which we would bring in the applicable ESFs or emergency support function partners, like, for instance, the National Weather Service would be here. Thinking about the Corps of Engineers, if we had an incident that occurred and let's say there was going to be a power or debris mission, we might bring in ESF3 partners here. So it just depends upon the nature of the event, whatever that that incident, you know, possibly look like, flooding, severe weather. We've seen more and more fires in our region, but this room is really about coordination amongst the interagency federal partners, just so that we're here talking together, working together, and if we need to push stuff downrange to the field, that's where that's occurring, is here.
Have you seen this room in action, I imagine, several times in your career here? And
yes.
How long have you been here?
So I've been with FEMA Region 7 for 12 years. And over the 12 years, we've had numerous responses. The last time I can really think of this room up and running, with the exception of COVID, we were activated for the first couple of weeks. And then when the decision was made to do remote work, everyone went home. But in those early weeks, I'm thinking back now to like March of 2020, we had a lot of federal partners here, HHS, CDC, of course. We had partners at our Cyber and Infrastructure Security Agency, just other partners in the room. In 2019, when we had significant flooding along the Missouri River that resulted in major disaster declarations in Nebraska, Iowa, and Missouri, our Regional Response Coordination Center was activated. And, you know, to give you an idea, EPA at the time had an ESF 10 mission We had a problem with orphan drums, essentially propane tanks that were floating along the Missouri River. So that obviously was a hazardous material concern. So we'd bring in our ESF 10 partners here to coordinate with us. USDA, we had a significant challenge, especially in Nebraska, with a lot of livestock that had unfortunately died due to blizzard conditions. And there was a pretty large carcass removal program, which I admit I was not familiar with. That's the point of this coordination center, is to bring in those partners that do have that area of focus so we can just better coordinate.
From the workshop we had where we brought in all those people, I think you've held a couple of those maybe in the last several years. I know it's been a little while since we've all gotten together, but what do you feel like you learn every time we have one of these events?
Well, I think that the most important piece, when you think about turnover and just changing in personnel, is getting everyone up to speed on ESF 15, Emergency Support Function 15, and how it's organized, so that if and when we do need to work together in that type of environment, there's familiarity. There's familiarity with the terms that we use. You know, we talk about the JIC, the Joint Information Center, and how that's organized, congressional affairs, private sector, all of those aspects that comprise ESF 15. So I think there's real value in periodically providing those updates, answering questions that partners have. You know, for us at FEMA, we live in that world, so it's really easy for us. But for other federal partners that aren't dealing with, disaster activity, response and recovery as frequently as we are, these terms can be, kind of foreign. So we just want to get everyone up to speed, practice together, and then forging relationships, just getting to know folks. You know, we often talk about you don't want to exchange your business card at a disaster. You know, the extent to which we can get to know each other beforehand, I think there's a lot of value in that. Sharing best practices, you know, these communicators that are part of this group all have a tremendous amount of experience. So I think there's real value to that. And just, it's kind of like that old adage of iron sharpening iron. You just want to learn from each other.
The way our districts and our regions work kind of for the Corps and then for FEMA or for even the EPA, there's like overlap, but it's not like the same exact boundary, because like a lot of ours are based on watersheds and where water goes. And then the military construction missions are different. But in terms of like our district, so we have the southern half of Kansas from Council Grove south, basically, that swath of Kansas. If something goes on in that particular region of Kansas, something comes through Wichita or through another area, and we have to respond, you all take over, as because this is your region, you all take over in terms of the FEMA response to that. And what kind of coordination do you think would go on there between our two departments?
Yeah, we would be responsible for emergency management from the federal level for any type of incident that takes place in Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, or Nebraska. And I mentioned those tribal partners in our region as well. Now, when you think about events that potentially cross the state lines, let's say, Oklahoma, which is in FEMA Region 6, Kansas, which is FEMA Region 7 here, it's just at that point kind of like a matter of coordination and us working with the region, the other region. Like in that instance, it would be FEMA Region 6 if there were similar types of weather events. I would note, though, that disaster declarations have to be requested by a governor. So whether it's the governor of Oklahoma, Kansas, just to use this example, that's where our primary focus would be, is in helping the states and then bringing the applicable Army Corps districts alongside us. It was actually a couple weeks ago, I want to say before the holidays. So yeah, it was more than a couple of weeks ago, but we were down in Coffeyville, Kansas, in like the extreme southeastern portion of the state. And a colleague of yours, Bill Smiley, I believe his name was, we were coordinating with. There was a lot of concern regarding a levee in the area and the amount of protection it was or was not or is not providing to the community, and what that can mean for them from a safety perspective. We got asked to come down there to talk about possible grant opportunities and any FEMA grant dollars they could use to help the area become more resilient. But we really coordinated well with our partners in the Tulsa district, and it was a meeting with city officials, There were, I think, members of like the county commission that were there. Senator Moran's office of Kansas really helped to put it together. So it was a number of officials in the area, and I think it went really well. You know, we just talked through the possibilities that exist, and the Corps, from the federal perspective, really led that discussion. But it went really well.
What do you enjoy most about, because you worked for FEMA in Washington, D.C. before coming out here to Kansas City. What do you most enjoy about your work with FEMA?
Yeah, so for 7 years, I worked at the Department of Homeland Security headquarters in the Legislative Affairs Office, FEMA being part of the department. But I was always working on FEMA items, but just at the departmental level. So my experience at that point in my life was very much kind of policy oriented. So worked a lot with oversight committees, a lot of legislative stuff, appropriations, which I find of interest. It was interesting. But, you know, you get kind of tired putting together talking points and working at that higher level, reviewing testimony, and having since come out to FEMA for the past 12 years now, it's been great getting to be more hands-on. What I mean by that is actually deploying out after a disaster, which of course none of us want to occur, but to the extent that we can help people bounce back, you know, just kind of point them on the direction forward, it's just a great sense of, it's a great feeling inside the extent to which we can help people in those difficult situations. So that's been a great experience for me, having come out to FEMA and deployed within the region, you know, Nebraska, Missouri, Iowa in particular. We just haven't had as many, and I'm knocking on wood as I'm saying this, as many larger disaster declarations in Kansas in the past 12 years, but also deploying outside of the region. 16, 17, and 18, I was in Florida after Matthew, Irma, and Michael, assisting with the response there. Louisiana over the years, New Jersey, et cetera. So just a real sense of value in helping folks more hands-on.
As you know, as much as you want to get out and help people, and as much as, it, like, I enjoyed, I know I've enjoyed my deployments with the Corps through FEMA, through Mission Task Orders, or Mission Assigned Task Orders. There's something exciting about going and trying to be able to do something good. And that's something I've talked to people about. And, you know, what really struck me while we were here for the workshop was that, like, I was on a mission and there was a FEMA person who was in the area of operation there with me, Ariana French. And I hadn't met her face to face. We'd only spoken on the phone. But when I was coming over for my deployment, I was told, "Hey, she's your point person to go to." And she ended up being on a different island than I was on. But it was kind of neat to finally meet her. And then I met people from the Corps that I haven't met who are they're in different divisions or different districts as well. But I just find that kind of cool about what you guys put together while we were here. And I just think it was so great, you know, and you and your staff with Barb Sterner and Hannah and Dallas, you guys did such a great job. And I just want to say thank you for making it such a good experience for all of us, because I think we all benefited from it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. You know, I think FEMA, we have such a great mission, and, you know, it sounds kind of simple, helping people before, during, and after disasters, but it really is a great mission. And bringing in our federal partners, whether it's, like you were just saying, Brandon, a mission assignment to the Corps of Engineers, Environmental Protection Agency, whoever it might be, in my experience, when we're working together in that response environment, everyone is in it for the affected community. Everybody wants to help those neighborhoods and individuals that are looking for some type of direction forward and, you know, some type of help. So I think it's a great area to work in, and to include our federal partners that will go out and do that type of work. And from a communicator perspective, which we're really focused on here, public information, you know, that's so important. And when we think about being coordinated as a federal family, whether you're responding in, you know, Louisiana, Puerto Rico, Hawaii, wherever it might be, the extent that we can stay coordinated together and speak with one federal voice, understanding, of course, every department and agency is going to want to talk about their unique activities. And that's, you know, totally not just fine, but understand we want to be able to highlight those, but to be able to do it in a coordinated way. So when we push stuff out to the public, we're not tripping over each other. We have our act together. And really, that's the entire idea behind ESF 15 and trainings like this, so that we are able to just become better coordinated. And yeah, it was a great couple of days. I really appreciate yourself and everyone that came out and stayed engaged, really provided inputs. You know, sometimes with these types of trainings, folks can kind of just, I'm just kind of like here along for the ride, but not the case this week. There was real genuine input, and that's really valuable from our perspective, and I think for everyone.
What have I not asked you that I should have asked you during this interview?
I think you covered a lot, and there's nothing else that I can really think of. I appreciate the way that you asked about the workshop this week. About the work that we do, but I think you were pretty thorough.
Well, hey, thank you so much for doing this interview with me. I know we just had a 3 days of workshop, and like I said, it was great. It was energizing for me. I certainly walked away with a much better understanding of not only FEMA, but what some of those other agencies do who are involved.
Well, I'm a big fan of the Corps of Engineers. I've got a Corps of Engineers jacket that was provided to me back in, I think it was 13 or 14, Rainey Brunson at the headquarters level put together a training. Maybe it was like a certification exercise or something in St. Louis. And myself and Barb Sterner came out to provide an ESF 15 training. And as kind of a nice gesture, they gave us a windbreaker, one of those bright red and white windbreakers. So I've got that in my closet, and really proud to have it. And no, just can't say enough thing about the Corps of Engineers. Great, great partners.
Well, if you ever decide to have to wear that thing full time.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us for Corstruction. Corstruction is a production of the Tulsa District U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Public Affairs Office. This episode of Corstruction is brought to you by Federal Emergency Management Agency, Region 7, External Affairs. Thank you for joining us, and have a great day.